Welcome to the United Cast. I'm your host Matthew, and Liverpool have won their 20th league title. There's a few things for us to talk about today. I will be touching upon our, I almost said defeat, it felt like one, draw to Bournemouth away. I'll be touching upon that. Talking about our league position, talking about Liverpool, talking about titles, talking about next season. Also talking about the Premier League itself and how, if you win the league by game week 34, you've done it quite easily. You've done it quite easily. Whether that's because you yourself have been very good or, and judging by what I'm looking at here, you've not had a lot of competition. You've still got to do your job at the end of the day when it comes to football. You can't rely on results from other people. You just got to go out there and win your games, which is what Liverpool have rampantly done this season. And look, it's not like a surprise. We all kind of knew. I think, everybody would have been looking at today and thinking, okay, Tottenham at home. Spursy could do a Spursy thing and beat them or draw. I mean, a draw would still have meant Liverpool getting the league because they needed one more point. But you looked at that and you thought, okay, Liverpool only needing a point at home against anybody really, in this situation, it's almost a guarantee. And they beat Tottenham 5-1 anyway, so there you go. Look, it's not a surprise that this happened today. It's, we've almost all just been a kind of waiting for Liverpool to win the league. Whether it's a case of a Liverpool fan yourself and you're just, picking up result after result after result, or for any other, rivals or neutrals or whatever, you're just watching Liverpool get win after win after win in the league, and seeing nobody else really in a title race. I mean, I don't think Arsenal were really in a title race this year. At least they haven't been for a while, because Liverpool have been about, 9 to 12 or so points clear for quite a while, and Arsenal just couldn't catch them. And then Arsenal drew the other day against Palace. Obviously, Palace are a very good side this year. And nobody else really did anything. We sure as shit haven't. Gonna talk about us in a second. Look, in terms of being fair and square, hands up, congratulations, Liverpool. I can feel what I can feel whatever way I want to about it, right? But if you win the league by probably over 10 points, we don't know what the points difference will be by the end, but at the moment it's more than 10 points. If you can do that, then you've done really well, and particularly for Arne Slot. Okay, you come into a team where you've got a pretty good established squad. That doesn't mean that you're, gonna do well. I mean, prime example, us in 2013, Sir Alex Ferguson taking us to our not last but most recent Premier League title, and then David Moyes comes along and doesn't even, survive the season. So it's not always the case that just because you have a trophy or a title winning side and the manager leaves or retires or whatever happens, doesn't mean the next manager's just going to come in and walk the league with the winning team. It doesn't always work that way. So yeah, congratulations to Arne Slot. You've clearly done something very well. Yeah, but it's funny when we fell away after 2013, and you kept thinking every year after year, like, okay, what's gonna be the year that we improve? And we've had some very good seasons. We have finished second 3 times, I think, since then. The closest probably being, was it the Mourinho season or the Ole season? Like in 2021, we should have won the league title. We just stupidly lost to Southampton in one of our matches because we took it too easy, and then the momentum fell and just slipped from there. So We should have more recent Premier League titles, but you know, it didn't happen, and I think City won it that year. But yeah, so but yes, this does now mean, regardless of if you look at, you know, Premier League title wins, of course it's 2-13 in the case of us and Liverpool, but that doesn't mean that you can just ignore when it comes to finishing at the top of the English division, whether it's the what the old league used to be called or the new league used to be called. They're both still they're effectively the same thing, they're just called something different. I know the money might be different and whatever else. But we've both finished first 20 times each, and that is what is the main important thing. Just because you rename your league and then you start the numbers from scratch. Yes, we do still have many, many, many more league Premier League titles than Liverpool. 2-13, obviously they've got a ways to go there. But you can't ignore the 20 and the 20. You just can't. You can't do that. So, it was quite a. I felt like this was not that my eyes weren't already opened, because they have definitely been opened more this season. Seeing us, and look, I didn't watch the City game or the Liverpool game. They were both on at the same time. I was just playing Uncharted, to be honest. You could pretty much guess that. Okay, once City went 2-0 up, that was pretty much it for them. Once Liverpool, I think once Liverpool went 2-1 up, because I was checking the score every now and again. As soon as I saw it was 2-1, I thought, okay, that's probably it. Yeah, but watching, just to switch gears a little bit, watching us today, and I'm not going to try and break down the usual United cast version of this with our game. It's just not worth it. Watching us flounder around pathetically and fail until right at the very end of the game for 30 minutes to break down a 10-man Bournemouth team. And look, big credit to Bournemouth. They were very good. Pretty much played us off the park. They had a player sent off. I don't know if it should have been a red card. But I just, my God, trying to watch us. I thought we were absolutely diabolically, I can't even speak properly. Diabolically pathetic. I really, really think we were absolutely dreadful today. And some of you may think, okay, do you think that was our worst performance of the season? I don't know. It was in the top five of worst performances this season. We were, God almighty, we were so bad today. The only reason in the last 10 to 20 to 30 minutes, after obviously Bournemouth went 10 men, went to 10 men, went down to 10 men, the only reason that we started having more of the ball is because they let us. And because they were back to the wall trying to defend a 1-0 lead, which makes some sense. I still thought Bournemouth could have gone for it and could have still beaten us. I mean, look at what Lyon almost did to us. What was it, last week? Or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. But what watching us really, really try and like whip balls in, still fail to pass to Højlund. I'm just, God almighty, I'm stunned by the lack of service that Højlund gets. He didn't even score because he got service. It was because the ball just fell to him. Trying to, and I just put out a section of the podcast called the Højlund service problem. I can't believe it just is God. And it's not like we're even trying to service Højlund. It just, Jesus Christ. And like we're really trying and sort of passing the ball around the, like we're sitting here today, right? Okay, we kicked off at a different time to Liverpool, knowing, okay, it's no, we're all 90% sure today Liverpool are lifting the title, whether you're a fan, rival, neutral, whatever, right? Because you just know that that's probably going to happen. Us sitting in, what are we, 14th, trying to fiddle about with this football, trying and failing to create a chance, and then getting, quite frankly, lucky at the end, while Liverpool are on the verge of equaling our league titles. I think if you're a Man United fan this season and you're thinking, ignore this season and start fresh with Amorim next season, I really think you've got to open your eyes up, because there's too many teams now that are so much better than us. Bournemouth are a better team than us. Aston Villa, Forest, Villa, Palace, Chelsea, City, Newcastle, Arsenal, Liverpool. All of them are better than us. Right? Wolves are better than us. I was watching... You know, I was watching... What was it? Was it their 3-0 win yesterday? Yeah, I was watching the highlights. I was catching up with football highlights yesterday. I was watching Wolves win 3-0. And I tell you something else I've noticed that's really kind of opened my eyes. Whether it was that game or many other games from just other teams this season. The way that most other football clubs, so whether it's Palace, Villa, Wolves, Brentford, Brighton, Fulham, all these other teams. The way they so easily do basic stuff, which they should do. Like simple passes to feet, through balls, crosses, communication. I'm not talking about like deep tactical stuff. Just really basic, not necessarily easy, but just basic stuff that every professional footballer should be able to do without really thinking too much. And then watching us in this last half an hour, and I'm counting half an hour, by the way, because they added 9 minutes. So it basically was the last half an hour of the game. Floundering around the edge of Bournemouth's box, desperately trying to score just to get a draw against 10 men. It was really awful to watch. It was really, really awful. I tell you something though, like, if we just forget the conversation about this season for a second, we've really got to be careful as a football club. Because, okay, let's say you say the next 5 years, right? The next season for Man United, the next 5 years. There's no sort of... How can I put this in a way that is constructive? There's no sort of, like, magical thing of, like, oh, because Man United's name is big, that we're automatically going to get better. I think I said this back on a podcast in February, maybe March or something, when I was covering our games properly week to week, when it was actually more worth it. And that was, like, a few months away. And it was when we'd started, like, really playing quite badly on the... early this year, and I don't mean this season, I mean early 2025, and I was looking at some of the things that we were doing and thinking, okay, we'll probably have like a half-assed transfer window that won't be good enough, but even with that and whatever else, and I don't think I was Amorim out at that point, I think I was more, it's still a little bit kind of, okay, I see some of the stuff he's trying to do, but it's just going bad. And I think I remember I said on the podcast even back then, on one of the Unitedcast episodes, what is there that tells any of us, whether you're rival, neutral, or Man United fan, that says, oh yeah, but you know, Man United go and sign, let's say 3-4, hopefully 5 players, we probably need more than 5, but let's say 3 to 5 players, and what, magically get better since August? These basic problems that we've got? Are just going to, what, just disappear? Liverpool are going to, what, magically get worse? Arsenal are suddenly going to get worse for some reason? Everybody else is going to mysteriously drop off and we're going to just suddenly get better and win the league? That's not going to happen. And look, I do think a few teams are kind of floundering around a bit. I think that, okay, I look at someone like Chelsea, for example. It's like, okay, well, what are you doing? They're still having a better season than us, but they've been kind of floundering around for a little bit as well. Arsenal keep just bottling the league every year. That's their own situation to deal with. But then you do look at other teams like, okay, Newcastle are getting better, Forest are getting better, Villa are getting better, Wolves are getting better, Palace are getting better, Bournemouth nearly just beat us, Brighton are a good team, Fulham a good team. You've got teams like Aston Villa and Nottingham Forest who are flirting with like European spots, Champions League quarterfinals, FA Cup semi-finals. And, okay, I know a year ago, okay, we won the FA Cup and, you know, that's not that distant of a memory. But I'm talking in the future. What is there that's going to happen between now and August that we Because forget the conversation anymore about, oh yeah, next season minimum aim is top four, maybe a trophy. We need to finish in the top 10. We're not in the top 10. Forget the top four. I get the top four was usually kind of okay, the Man United top four Champions League spots. That was like the minimum goal. We are not in the top four. We are in the top 14. Add 10 spots to that. That's where we are. I think we really need to open our eyes to what's happened. And then, look, there's not much that we can do about it as fans. But you cannot, okay, the season's written off. You cannot ignore this season. And in terms of, okay, what are we doing in the immediate future? Forget 5 years' time. What are we doing next season? Whether we do or don't win Europa League or whatever, right? We've got to get rid of Amrabat. That's you just have to, because it, and this was kind of a new feeling I had from our game today, because when I last did United Cast, I think it was for Lyon or something like that. I can't remember if it was the first or the second leg, and I said I don't necessarily think it's because he's a bad manager. He's just maybe not good enough for Man United, which that's a very, very high bar for a manager. There's very few that can actually do that. And maybe that's okay, that you're not good enough to be a Man United manager. Not many are. There's a very hand only a handful few that have been over the years. But even if you sweep that conversation aside, if you're a Manchester United manager and you finish 14th, you shouldn't have a job next season. I was thinking of that today, kind of. Okay, we've been bobbing around, what, 12th to 15th, whatever. That's where we've been sort of at for the last couple of months. That goes beyond kind of, oh, I don't have my players, I don't have my idea, whatever. If Erik ten Hag with, okay, what's the difference in the squad between the end of last season, so let's say post-January last year, which I can't remember who we bought anyway. You've added Dorgu to the team since then. I know there's been a few youth lads that have broken through, like Heaven and not Amos. Is it Amos? The left wing back. I can't remember his name right now. And there's been like a few other players that have made little appearances here and there. Which is a normal thing for a team to do anyway. You have subtracted Antony, you have subtracted Rashford. And those were under Amorim's watch, particularly the Rashford stuff. Sancho went in the summer, didn't he? I think, yeah. You have added Dorgu, so you've essentially got the same squad that Erik ten Hag had a year ago, and he finished eighth, which wasn't good enough, but won an FA Cup. We've gone from 8th to 14th, so we have gotten worse, and even though. When Erik was sacked, sorry, when Amrabat took over, I believe we were 4 points off the top four. I think we were still around like 12th, 13th or something, but because it was still early in the season, we were only 4 points off the top four. And I don't want to do the maths on how far we are, but we've got 39 points and Chelsea have got 60. Sorry, Man City have got 61. That's where the fourth spot is. So a lot of points, a lot of points. I think that's 22, isn't it? Gone from 4 points to 22, and they showed a stat on Sky of like we've got, what was it, 6 wins? Amrabat had 6 wins from, wasn't 22 games? Was it? It can't have been 22 games. I can't remember what the second number was. It was 6 out of something. If you're doing things like that, right? And you're finishing, again, let's say between 12th and 15th, wherever it's actually going to end up, because we could still move up a bit, we could still move down a little bit. I don't really care what your ideas are, or what your tactics are, or if you have or haven't got your players. You finish 14th as a Man United manager, you get sacked. That's just the bottom line. And we get somebody else in next season, and we spend a proper summer doing, again, probably half of a rebuild, but we change things from there. You probably get another 4-2-3-1 manager in, go back to that and do something there. I feel like we're going to keep Amrim next season. I feel like we're going to, because financially, we spent a lot of money getting rid of Ten Hag. We spent a lot of money buying Amrim out of his sporting contract. But like, it just I just think that, well, I don't even think it's almost factual when you look at it. Us floundering around in 14th while we struggle to break down a 10-man, granted a very good, but a 10-man team in Bournemouth while we're trying, and in Liverpool winning the 20th title, we've got to wake up and realise what's going on. And I would love to sit down with, let's say, one of the Glazers or Jim Ratcliffe and say, okay, we finished 14th, Liverpool won their 20th title. What is your response to that? Not your response to the question, because there's not really a question there, but what are you going to do about that as owners? Because whether it's players, manager, tactics, formations, what is coaching staff, whatever, the owners are the people at the top. Jim, Ineos, and the Glazers are the ones at the top. And it really, really bothers me as well. Not to keep going back to this, but it really, really was kind of a moment. When we're there cancelling Christmas dinners, right, or parties or whatever it was, and cutting jobs, cutting jobs, cutting jobs, cutting jobs, and you're hearing things like the Man United staff have got bread and soup for lunch. Meanwhile, Liverpool are what, like 13 points clear, winning their 20th title while we're sitting 14th, eating soup and bread. It's bad, and I just. Okay, you write off this season. You don't forget about it. You don't just pretend it didn't happen. And I personally don't. After how badly this season's gone, and particularly Liverpool winning their 20th title, I do not want. I'm not up for, and it's not my choice, obviously, to have like, oh yeah, so okay, keep Amorim, give him about 300 million, and let's try this experiment. I don't want to try that experiment. I don't think that we should be trying that experiment. Because I feel like what's going to happen is, okay, we'll spend 300 million. Let's say we get Delap in, which I don't know why we're buying him or going for him, or Cunha, which seems pretty decent, but again, Wolves are 13th and whatever.
Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
Yeah, we go and get, let's say, Cunha and Delap, because that's what you do as a big club, is buy the striker of a team that's just got relegated. God. And then, like, you know, we lose our first two games in August and we go, oh God, we just gave this guy 300 million, and we would then be bottom of the league or near the bottom of the league, losing the first two games. We scrounge around, getting bits of results here and there, and then we're 10th again in November, and then we sack him. I can almost feel like that's going to happen. There you go. There you go. I don't know, this is, it's bad. It's bad, and, like, I mean, I'm not going to even try and bother talking about, like, okay, the way we passed the ball today, and how Bournemouth pressed us, and we got scared, and trying to watch us create a chance in some games. And Liverpool just easily won the league. That's less our fault, and you've still got people like, you know, City fell away, Newcastle improving, Arsenal just keep bottling games or whatever. But it's I think this needs to be an eye-opening time for kind of everybody involved with the club. But yeah, over to you, Jim and Glazers. What are you going to do about this? You have to get rid of this manager, because again, finishing 14th is just completely unacceptable. It is, yeah, it would easily be our worst Premier League finish, wouldn't it? And look, I'm not saying we necessarily, you know, should have kept Eric, or should have sacked him in the summer, or I don't know what the right choice there was. Or like, hey, should we have kept Ruben Nistori? He was doing all right for a couple of games, but how would that all have turned out? And would Liverpool have just still won the league anyway? Because by the time those two things happened, we were already falling away a little bit slightly, weren't we? So, yeah. Because, yeah, not to get too kind of grim here, but let's say we don't improve between now and next season and Amorim stays here. What is stopping Liverpool from getting 21? Let's say that they keep on their really good momentum, because they have no reason not to. Because they'll keep, obviously keep Slot. He'll stay there for a while. They'll buy some more players. Liverpool's biggest challenge next probably is going to be, okay, once Salah and Van Dijk do leave, which I think might be not next season, but the one after, because they've just signed new deals. How do you replace Salah? That's obviously something they're going to have to deal with. How do you replace Van Dijk? Although Van Dijk's not as good as he used to be. And Trent, I think, is going to Real Madrid, isn't he? You've got to replace him as well. So those are going to be some big things for Liverpool to tackle. But they've got a very, very good squad there. And I think they've got some good forwards in their team already anyway. But yeah, Salah's going to be a big one. But it won't be a problem for them next season. So yeah, what is there, who is there stopping Liverpool from doing 21 next year? And to be perfectly honest, whether we do or don't get, obviously we'll get some new players. If that doesn't improve us, what would stop us getting relegated next year? Because when I look at this league table, and it was a case that Ipswich just couldn't win games, Leicester just couldn't win games, Southampton been stuck on 11 points for a while. You look at this and you say, okay, from 14th down, so where we are, we got 39 points, Everton got 38, Tottenham got 37, West Ham got 36. If you give, let's say, Ipswich or Leicester, let's say you both give them another 10 points, so Ipswich would then be on 31 at this point in the season, we still would be in, like, some trouble. If let's say Ipswich or Leicester had picked up another bunch of wins here and there and actually won some more games, because you can kind of forget Southampton because they sort of just fell away this season, but particularly with Ipswich and Leicester, if they had better form this season, we would have been in genuine trouble. So you get rid of them three, you bring Leeds in. Obviously Leeds have just done really well in the Championship, and you've also got who's coming up from the Championship, Burnley, who have done really well. They got 97 points. Leeds have got 94, and then obviously it's between Sheffield United, Sunderland, Bristol, Coventry. Uh, Like, okay, I'm looking at, like, because we weren't really in a relegation battle per se, because we weren't down near the bottom three. But are we better than Burnley? Are we better than Leeds? Because next season, if we're still down there, and Leeds start off well, Burnley are doing well, granted, they got to adjust back to the Premier League, because obviously they've both been in the Premier League, but they've got to adjust to it. Because essentially what I'm looking at is if you take, forget the team at the bottom and whoever the third promotion team's going to be. Let's say you take Ipswich and Leicester out and you put Burnley, an informed Burnley team and an informed Leeds team in there. Do we survive that next season? Like if we don't improve, which again, end of April, we've got May, June, July. Obviously pre-season's going to show us some stuff, and then August we're back to it. And then you've got your next 10 months to, or however long it is, to do something in the league. But even for the teams below us, like Southampton nearly beat us. Leicester we did actually do pretty well against. Ipswich we got a draw from them or something. West Ham, are they better than us? Tottenham, are they better than us? Everton, are they better than us? Depends on what day. Depends on what day, because all those teams are capable of beating us in the state that we're in. And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to genuinely be realistic, and just look at that and think. Because I do you know what I find really just quite actually amusing, and I know it's a case of money and not necessarily a Champions League spot. We could finish 14th, win the Europa League, and be in the Champions League next year. Do we want to be in the Champions League next year? Where we're going to be playing PSG? Do we want to play against PSG and Barcelona and Real Madrid and Dortmund and who else is in there? I mean, Villa got pretty far in there as well. Are we sure we want to play those teams? Barcelona, PSG, Real Madrid, Leverkusen, by Leverkusen. The one who just last season did a unbeaten league season. Do you think those teams are going to struggle against us? Especially like with PSG. Speaking of Liverpool and how well they did, PSG with the fight back there. I mean, that was incredible. Do we want to go up against that? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we've got through the Europa League. Okay, pretty well, because we're weirdly still unbeaten in Europe this season, which is very strange. But yeah, we've kind of got to make sure. Okay, can we survive the Premier League season next year? Can we actually be better than Burnley and Leeds and Wolves and all these teams that might be near the bottom? And it's funny, you look at, let's say, someone like Nottingham Forest. I swear last year they were. Let me look back at last year. Yeah, finished 17th. They've gone from 17th to 6th. That's kind of what we've got to do next season, is do what Nottingham Forest have done. Is okay, be on not quite the brink of relegation of that. Obviously they were quite close to it, but that's what we've got to do next season. I don't know that we can. I mean, granted, if we get a new manager in, which is still what we need to do, and we actually make some big improvements to this squad, because we've got to look at our squad and go, right, Eriksen, okay, he's leaving, Lindelof, he's got to go, Luke Shaw, he's got to go, Casemiro, he's got to go. Depends on what we do with people like Sancho and Rashford, because if we get a new manager in and they like Sancho and Rashford, or like one or the other, or don't like both, or whatever, we've got that to sort out. So yeah, can we get a striker, and can we actually pass that striker? Because regardless of if you do or don't like Haaland or whatever, we still need another senior striker in the squad. Probably two. We probably need two of them in the team. But then it's a case of also, all right, if we do or don't have Amrim, like what formation are we playing? What do we actually need next season? Yeah, so we just are past the point of Oh, we're Man United, so we'll be fine because we're called Man United. I just don't think that's. Yeah, in order for us to be good, safe Man United, and like, oh yeah, we'll just always be in the Premier League. I'm sure Leeds thought that they'd always be in the Premier League. I'm sure many other teams that got relegated thought that they'd always be in the Premier League. Leicester, who've won the Premier League more recently than us, have pretty much, yeah, they've just got relegated again. There's nothing kind of saying that that can't happen to us. And look, I'm not sitting here saying we're going to get relegated next season, but we have to be better than the teams below us. Otherwise, if simply put, if we don't stop goals going in and we can't put the goals in on the other end, and we don't do it enough times, it's not as if, like, okay, if you have, let's say, City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, if you finish in the bottom three, you finish in the bottom three. It don't matter what your name is or what your history is. Those are the rules. If you don't put the ball in the net enough times and you let it in too many times, it doesn't matter what your name is or how big you are or the fact of you've got 13 league titles, 20 league titles, it don't matter. It don't matter. We've genuinely got to make sure next season that we are better than Burnley, we are better than Leeds. I mean, okay, let's I just can't stop thinking about the Champions League thing because I weirdly feel like we might win the Europa League, although we've got a apparently good Bilbao team to get past as well. Would we finish like bottom of the Champions League? Because again, you've got some serious teams in there. I know Real Madrid kind of fluffed it against Arsenal, but do you think they'll do that against us? I don't know. I mean, okay, let's just take a pause from that for a second. What could give me refreshed hope for next season? To go it not to think, oh, we're gonna win the league or something like that, but to think, okay, we're actually gonna play some good football or some decent football. Because what I saw today was pathetically diabolical. I can't even say the sentence properly because it's so. And I really, really promise you that I'm not being hyperbolic about that. I just thought we were absolutely pathetic today. I'm really surprised we got anything out of that game. Like, I think if you're a Bournemouth fan or a Bournemouth player, you're looking at that thinking we should have cleaned them out about 3-0 or at least come away with a win. Because they beat us at home, didn't they? What was it, 3-0? I don't remember them finding that too difficult. So yeah, anyway, we've got to get a new manager for next season. We've got to listen to what this whoever that would be. Unfortunately, it probably won't be someone like Thomas Tuchel, who is the next person I probably would have wanted. The Ten Hag dream thing I had, whatever that's gone, obviously he's not going to come back. I don't know who that name is though. I just know I don't want it to be Ruben Amorim. Just go back to Sporting and win the Portuguese league again. You were good at doing it. You shouldn't have come to us, Ruben Amorim. You just really shouldn't have. I get it. Man United come knocking, you answer the door. That's what they say, right? Give this squad a good clean out. Get rid of some of our older players, so people like Eriksen, who I think is going. Casemiro's got to go. You've got to get some midfield replacements in. Get another striker. Defence, I think we're actually. I like the defenders that we got. Maybe for numbers wise, replace Lindelof. Johnny Evans, I think, is going as well. So again, not quality wise, but numbers wise, you've got to replace Eriksen. You've got to replace Casemiro. Replace Lindelof. Replace Johnny Evans. Obviously, Aidan Heaven's going to be stepping in a bit next season. Sort out who our fullbacks are going to be as well. Like, okay, is the starting fullbacks next season Dalot and Dorgu? Or are we going to have fullbacks? What formation are we going to play? Get some variety of players in as well, for God's sake. Like, the technical IQ on our team is very worryingly low. We have very few technically good players. We've got what, Cobbie, Ahmad, yeah, I can only think of two in the whole. Xerxes, very, very technically good. I just forgot about him a bit because we've not seen him for a couple of weeks. He's very technically good. He really started picking up some form as well. It's a bit of a shame he got injured. Yeah, like, are we gonna have fullbacks next season? Get rid of Luke Shaw as well. Replace Luke Shaw. But basically, every name that I'm reading out, because I already think our squad isn't big enough. So by default, every player that we get rid of, we numerically have to replace, and then we need to add to that squad because we have one striker in our team. When was the last time a Man United squad had one out-and-out striker in our team? Because who did we have before this? Obviously, we had the Greenwood situation. We had Cavani. We had a finished Ronaldo. Who was it that we let go of? I know McTominay was like scoring a lot of goals, but he was played in midfield. Who was it that we got rid of? I can't remember. Greenwood obviously had to go because of that situation, and Cavani. How long have we had just Højlund as our striker for? Was it 2 years? Because yeah, Eric's second season, was it? Yeah, Eric's second season, we still have Ronaldo hanging around, didn't we? Which was. Was that last season? Or was that Eric's first season? No, I think that was Eric's first season, because I don't remember him. I don't remember Ronaldo being in our squad for the FA Cup finals, for both of them. Because that was when he was playing Rashford through the middle, right? And we didn't. Oh, yeah, because neither Xerxes or Højlund were even in Eric's first season, were they? Because we had, I don't know, was Martial hanging around? Although Martial's not an out-and-out striker, he's more of a centre forward. But yeah, we've had one striker basically for a long time. We've got to obviously sort that out. We should have got Harry Kane, but that boat's come and gone. And then just, I mean, even from just a core level of communication, intelligence, quality, there's a lot to improve there, but I just think that you need fresh coaches and a fresh manager to just boot some life into this team. So anyway. Yeah. So yeah. Do you know who I feel really sorry for in this whole thing? Is Sir Alex Ferguson. Because he joined Man United with 7 league titles. He took us from 7 league titles to 20. And you know, he could have left in 2011 technically, when we had 19, and we, you know, had got the we'd got the 19th one there to go one past Liverpool. But even with the Glazers hanging around and secretly making our squad worse, didn't quite get it in 2012. Went back, Van Persie brought him in. He helped us get number 20, and it's taken less than half of the time since 2013, from, how am I trying to say this? But from when Liverpool had their 18th league title, which was what, the 80s, was it? When was it that they last won one before 2020? It was like the 80s or something, wasn't it? It wasn't in my lifetime, so it must have been the 80s. 70s or 80s, something like that, right? It took Liverpool from then all the way through to 2020 to get their next league title, and in that time, we worked our way. Sir Alex Ferguson worked his way, and we worked our way all the way from 7 league titles to 20. Could have had a few more, you know. City 2012. There was obviously Chelsea 2010. You know, the very close league titles. There was a whole bunch of other ones that were very, very close as well. So we could have got in there even quicker. And then 12 years later, we're level again. On 20 each. It's disturbing. Yeah. Or I don't know if disturbing is the right word. It's very, very annoying. It's very, very, whatever word you want to use. So, I thought I'd do one small little fun thing. I know this has been a very dreary down podcast, and I didn't even really want to do this, but I thought that I should. This is more of one of the I should do this rather than I want to, but there's important things to talk about here. I want to go through the Wall of Champions. Obviously, it's been updated. I'm not going to read out like 1990 something. I'm just going to read out the last two numbers of the year so you know which year I'm talking about. I'm going to say a lot of Man United, and then I'm going to stop saying Man United at one point. So, Wall of Champions. So this is just for the Premier League title, which is from 1993 to 2025. All right, so 93, Man United. 94, Man United. 95, Blackburn. Yeah, they used to win league titles. Again, another team that's won league titles that I don't even know what league they're in. So 95, Blackburn, 96, Man United, 97, Man United, 98, Arsenal, 99, United, that was our treble season, 2000, so 0-0, Man United, 01, Man United, 02, Arsenal, 03, Man United, 04, Arsenal, 05 and 06, both Chelsea, 07, 08, 09, Man United, 2010, Chelsea, 11, Man United, 12, City, 13, United, 14, City, 15, Chelsea, 16, Leicester, another relegated team, twice relegated team now since winning the league, 17, Chelsea, 18, City, 19, City, 20, Liverpool, 21, 22, 23, 24, City, and 25, Liverpool. So there used to be a lot of us there. 3 in a row, 99 through to 01, 7 through to 09, and then almost had another bunch in a row, because again, 2 goals of difference, 2010 and 2012, so we could have had 07 all the way through 13, like if Aguero didn't score, and if obviously Drogba's goal, well, it was offside, very clearly was offside. I actually went back and looked at that goal the other day, the 2010 Drogba goal. I don't know how that wasn't given as offside. Not to hark on things from 15 years ago, but like, never in a million years in this day and age with VAR would that ever have counted. He was very, very clearly offside. What was it? I think that gave Chelsea a draw or a win, and it gave them one more point than us. And it gave them the 2010 title. But yeah, 7, 8 and 9. Obviously 08 being the most recent Champions League. I think we were in the final in 2011, wasn't we, as well? Champions League final. Then 13 was last time we did it. 12 years ago. It's very sad to see the history slip away from us. In regards to the two big trophies, the Champions League and the Premier League. 08... and 2013 was the last time we won those two trophies. Like 2028 is not that far away, and that will be, 30 years, I think? 08 to, yeah, 2008 until 2028 is 30 years. I know we could be in the Champions League next year if we win the Europa League, but yeah, there's a big barrier there between starting a Champions League campaign and actually winning it, so. Again, came close in, I think it was 18, 21, and in 2012, but it wasn't to be. So, anyway, I've talked for longer than I even thought I was going to, but anyway, let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on Liverpool winning their 20th title, and whatever you would say is happening to us, floundering around in 14th, struggling to break down 10-men teams, and doing something. We're doing something, I just don't know what it is. Failing is what we're doing. Weirdly, we could still win a trophy this season, though. But, anyway. Alright, so let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on all those things. Matthew@entertainmenttalk.org, social media, Entertainment Talk, or eTalkUK, and his information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. In terms of being more happy, Last of Us is going to come back in a couple of hours here, the episode itself might be sad, but that don't mean it won't be very, very, very good, because it's been very, very, very good so far this season. If you've missed any of our coverage on The Last of Us Season 2 this year, we are all over it, doing multiple podcasts a week, and obviously done a bunch of podcasts in the past, so check out our World of Last of Us feed if you're interested in that. Do spoiler-free reviews as well, in case you haven't caught the episodes, all that kind of stuff, so look out for that. We're putting a lot of work into there, and it being appreciated is great. So the numbers have been very good for the opening season 2 episodes and podcasts, though, so thank you all for the support. Anyway, we also will be doing a gaming talk this week. We didn't do one last week, but we should be doing one this week. I also got some podcasts in terms of, I took a snippet out of our Leon podcast and posted it as the Hoyland Service episode, so you can check that out. Also did my season review, limited series review for Adolescence Season 1. Check that out over the weekend, or during this week. Reviewed that yesterday. And there's also, what else did I do? Warfare review. You can check that out as well, and some other stuff that we're doing as well. So check out what we're doing. EntertainmentTalk.org, excuse me, podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, Main Night podcast. Check out all of what we do and support what you can, all of that sort of stuff. If someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad free podcast for free options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, geektown.co.uk and Geektown Radio, that's run by David. Big renewal stuff going on right now, and lots of other news as well. So keep your eyes and ears peeled on Geektown on Tuesdays and geektown.co.uk. And you can also check us out on YouTube for all the random video game bits and pieces on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays. I guess I'll be back Thursday for our Europa League game. Our game next week isn't even on TV, so I might go and see a film or something. What is it? Is it the Brentford game? I think it is. Yeah, away to Brentford. Not surprised that's not on TV. I was surprised our game on TV, well, it was on TV today, to be honest. But it is what it is. But this Thursday and next Thursday, obviously, big games. Europa League first leg. I believe we're away to Bilbao first, and then at home next Thursday. So we'll see what the hell goes on with all of that. All right, thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.